give the Lord some praise. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated here this morning. Amen. You know, this morning I wanna share with you a message that I entitled "Victory in My Finances."
Amen.
And last week, amen, I was able to talk about the benefits of being a generous giver. And I realized that we can't be generous givers unless first we have some victory in our finances.
Well,
amen. And if God is going to raise up generous givers, then it's going to take people being victorious in this area. And so I pray that, listen, I'm going to talk about, you know, money, of course, but I'm not going to talk about in the sense of giving it. You know, there might be one point about that, but I want to talk to you and kind of teach you a little bit about having victory in your finances.
Amen.
You know, to live victorious, because this is a struggle for many people. Sometimes they don't know how to manage finances. They struggle in the area of managing finances. Amen. And if you're a young person, you know, I would take good notes. Put this in your shepherd's bag, because you may say, well, I don't have a job right now. I don't have money right now. But when you grow up, you're going to get a job. Hello, somebody. Kind of hear the parents say amen. You know, and you know, and you're going to have to be able to know how to manage finances. Amen. Too many young people just blow their finances. Amen.
Come on now.
And even adults. Come on, somebody. Right. You know, even adults, sometimes we mismanage finances, and we always struggle financially sometimes. Living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know, and so I want to just kind of be able to share with you, amen, how to have a little bit of victory in the area of finances. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Amen. I want you to grab your Bibles and go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 12 through 14. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 12 through 14. When you're there, give me a strong amen.
Amen.
And they're putting it on the screen also, so you can read it on the screen there. The Word of God reads like this. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's a good verse right there. Amen.
Yes.
How many want the Lord to send rain on your land?
Yes. Yes.
Some of you are like, I ain't got no land, Pastor. Huh? Rain means blessings. Huh? It says, you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none.
Come on now.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If, there's that little big word. Somebody say if. You pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top. Never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Victory in my finances. Father, bless the reading of your word, anointed to our hearts here this morning. God, help me to preach and to teach and to illustrate your word. Lord, I pray that you would minister to your people, that every heart will be open to receive what the Spirit is saying to the church today. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody says,
amen.
Last Sunday, I shared on the benefits of being a generous person. Amen. This week, I'm not going to teach on necessarily just on giving, but on how to experience financial victory.
Amen. Amen.
How many of you want to experience financial victory? Wave at me.
Amen.
See, in order to be generous and give, You need to have some level of victory in the area of finances. And the first victory you got to get is just the victory of just giving or tithe. You know? But we got to start to experience some victory. I've seen even Christians that can give their tithe, but they're still horrible in managing their finances. Can I tell on myself? I was one of those. Come on now. I mean, I was great at giving, man. I gave my tithes, get my, you know, pledges, you know. But then when it came down to managing my finances, it was a difficult thing. See, here at Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, we don't just want you to give to God and the ministry and for you to continue to struggle.
Oh, come on.
Come on now.
No, that's not what we want. We want you to experience, I want you to experience the blessings of God through financial freedom and being debt free. Huh? How many know we could be debt free? I said, well, what is debt? Debt is when you owe some money. Come on now. Huh? I owe, so off to jail I go. Huh? You know, sometimes we owe money, the creditors. Huh? Come on now. Sometimes that's a lot of the reasons of that special twice a day phone call that you get all the time, right? That's it right there. Huh? See, debt is a financial trap that can hold you down and keep you from going forward in life. I mean, if you're in debt, man, you know, you can sometimes hardly do anything. You can't buy a house, you can't buy a car, you can't, you know, because you're so indebted. Debt will keep you down in life, and it can even keep you down in your calling that God has for you.
Yeah.
You know, in order for me and Sylvia to be pastors, you know, one of the things that they checked and they asked us about was our credits. So you listen, we ain't going to send you out to start a church and you got all this bad credit. You ain't going to be able to build nothing. Huh? We had to be able to have, you know, it wasn't that we had perfect credit. Come on now, but we didn't have debt.
Come on now. All right now.
Huh? You know, we didn't owe Uncle Sam or, you know, Clay Cooley. Come on, somebody. Huh? Debt can sometimes hold you back from your calling. How can you be that missionary that takes the world for Jesus?
Come on now.
Huh? But you got all this debt at home.
Why?
Matter of fact, they won't even give you a passport sometimes.
Right.
If you owe so much money. Uh-huh. Huh? Debt. Debt sounds too much like death. Huh? See, as Christians, we must have the right mentality when it comes to money and to possessions, to things, possessions. We got to have the right mentality when it comes down to money and possessions. See, I was taught it's okay to have things. It's okay to have things. I got things. Amen. I got an iPad right here. Amen. Got the phone. I got things, you know. Huh? It's okay to have things. It's not okay for things to have you.
Amen.
Come on.
It's okay to possess things, but it's not okay for possessings to possess you.
Yeah.
Don't be possessed by your possessions.
Wow.
How many of us before we came to Christ, we were possessed by our possessions?
Yeah.
I remember when I wasn't saved, I was possessed by jewelry. I used to like jewelry, you know. I used to like money. I was possessed by money. I used to like dope. I was possessed by dope. I did everything I did was to get dope, was to get jewelry, was to get money. Because those things possessed my life.
Amen.
Yeah.
Huh? They owned me. The drug owned me. The money owned me. It wasn't until Jesus broke me free of the drugs, of the materialism, of the love of money, then all of a sudden those things didn't control my life no more.
Mom.
I can care less today. I don't have no jewelry. This ain't real gold. Come on, somebody.
Oh,
huh? Irvin gave me this nice watch. right? Everyone blesses me with watches. It's nice, man. He always blesses me with watches. But I don't think it's real gold, right? Amen. He don't want Pastor's arm to get chopped off. Maybe one day, hello somebody. There it is. Huh? Even my wedding ring is not real gold. Amen. Looks gold. Amen. Gold plated. Thank God that, you know, it's a miracle my finger ain't turned green. And I've been having it for years. Or my wrist. Hello somebody. Huh? But before, I used to be all caught up in gold.
Yeah, come on.
Gold, diamonds, necklaces, right? You know? Because I thought it made me look better or feel better.
Yeah.
Huh? Because those things possessed my life. And that's not the right mentality to have when it comes down to possessions. Sometimes we used to think, well, it's the type of car I drive. I need to have the souped up, come on somebody, or dropped, amen, with certain type of rims and a certain type of system.
Yeah, yeah.
And a certain type of interior and a certain type of paint job. Huh? We have to have the right mentality. And when it comes down to possessions, to money, and there we are trying to, you know, there we are trying to get all these things and getting involved in debt in the process of it.
Right, that's right.
Huh? So we have to, as Christians, we have to have the right mentality when it comes down to money and finances. See, I always thought it's okay to have these things, but just don't let things have you.
That's right. Amen, amen.
This morning, what I want to do is I want to give you 8 principles about money and possessions to think about. Mm. 8 things about money and possessions to think about. Take some notes. Put them on your phone. Put them on your pad. Take some notes. It's going to be some good stuff.
Amen.
But today, as I give you these 8 points, I'm going to give you the verses first. Okay? I'm going to give you the verses first. Then I'm going to give you the points. So as you hear and as you read the verse, see if you can guess the points. Okay? Let those thinking juices begin to flow. Huh? All right? Ready? You ready?
Yeah.
Ready, ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Point 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 through 12. Yours, O Lord, and it's on the screen. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty. Yours, O Lord, not mine, yours, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor for everything, for everything, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Where are you at right now? In the earth.
Amen.
You're in the earth. So guess what? You belong to him.
Amen.
Whatever's in this earth, according to this Bible, and if you believe the Bible, that it's the word of God, and you believe that God is the creator of heaven and earth, then you better believe that you belong to God. Whether you like it or not, whether you're an atheist, an agnostic, or a Christian, if you're in this earth, you belong to God.
Yeah.
For everything in heaven and earth is yours. So that means there's stuff in heaven.
Come on.
Now I've read somewhere in the Bible that there's a home ready for me in heaven. I may not have been able to buy a house here on earth. Oh, but I praise Jesus that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, I'm going to come back and come for you. In my house, there are many rooms. In other words, I have a mansion waiting for you in heaven. My mansion has many rooms. And there's a room just for you. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Verse 12, wealth and honor. Wealth and honor.
Amen.
Do you want those two things? Wealth and honor?
Yeah.
Huh? Wealth and honor? Wealth and honor come from you.
Ooh, come on now.
Where does wealth come from?
Lord.
Where does honor come from?
God.
See, it's not just about being wealthy. There's some wealthy people, but they're not honored.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
They're disrespected.
Come on, man.
Huh? Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all.
Yes, good.
Huh? Wealth and honor belongs to God. So listen, that tells me if you want a little bit of wealth, if you want a little bit of honor, then you got to go to God to get it.
Amen.
See, we used to want this stuff in the world, but we didn't go to God to get it. We went to the devil. We went to the world. We went to the connection. We went everywhere except for God. See, if you want wealth and honor, that means you got to get on your knees. You got to yada wadada. That means you got to get in your word. You got to read in order to succeed. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. I haven't given you the point yet, I'm giving you the verses. Listen to what it says. In this verse, Deuteronomy 8, 17 through 18, what had taken place is that God had taken Israel out of Egypt, and he was preparing them for the promised land. A promised land that God described as a land flowing with milk and honey. And so he tells them, in preparation for the promised land, listen to what he says. You may say to yourself, be careful what you tell yourself. Be careful with self-talk. It says, you may say to yourself, when you're in the promised land, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.
Wow. My.
Verse 18. But remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. How many went to work this week? Wave at me if you went to work this week. Amen. Praise God. How many got a check this week because you went to work this week? Amen. Praise the Lord. The rest of you are going to get it next week. Amen. Right? Right? Huh? Let me tell you something. How many got a hard job you think? Come on, wait a minute. God gave you that strength.
Yeah. Wow.
For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. It is he that gives you the ability to produce that. In other words, he's the one that wakes you up in the morning to go to work.
Right.
Even though you don't acknowledge him, even though you don't pray to him, even though you don't hit the first thing you do, you don't hit your knees, you just get up, drink your shanate, brush your grill, and out the door you go. And then before you leave, oh yeah, viejo, did you pack my lunch?
Oh my.
It's him that wakes you up in the morning. It's him that opens up your eyes. It's him that gives you the breath of life. It's him. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you're on the computer. It's him that's giving you the ability to move those little fingers 30 words a minute. I don't know. Come on, somebody. It's him. I don't care if you're driving a forklift. Come on now. I don't care if you're driving a lift and you have to switch the gears. It is him that gives you the strength and the ability to drive that fork. I don't care if you're a mechanic. It is him that has given you that ability to be mechanically inclined. You ain't hearing me this morning. I don't care if you swing a hammer at your job. It is him that is the power and the strength behind that hammer. It wasn't the barbacoa tacos you ate in the morning, my friend. It wasn't the menudo you ate in the morning, my friend. It wasn't the conchitas you ate last night. It is the strength of God. It is the power of God. It ain't because you got muscles. It ain't because you got looks. It ain't because you got know-how. It's because God gave you the ability to receive wealth. Somebody say amen in this place. He says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. See, everything you have, this is the point, everything you have has been entrusted to you by God.
Amen.
Everything. Everything you have has been entrusted to you by God. Everything you have. Everything you have has been entrusted to you by God. Huh? Who's the newest guy in the home? Who's you? Will you hold that for me? He is in our Christian recovery home for men. Were you on drugs? It's okay. I was on drugs. You're on crack. He was on crack. How many years? Since he was 18, how are you now? All right. Hold this for me. Everything you have has been entrusted to you by God. I have trusted that young man with my gold watch that ain't gold. But he was on crack for years. Yeah. I'm sure, like every other crackhead or meth head, and no offense, that he, like everybody else, has what we call the gift of gap.
Oh, yeah.
Let me break that down to you. What is it? Because some of you like... That ability, the gift of gab, enables you to sell ice cream to an Eskimo. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Huh? Right? Huh? That means he can take that watch, if he wanted to, and go to the corner to QT. Hey, what's up, man? Go watch. Best deal ever. You're not going to get a deal like this. Huh? Gold watch, 14 karat. All the way. Huh? Come on, somebody. Yeah. Say your name, you remember.
You remember.
Huh? 14 karat, man. Hey, come on. 100 bucks. 100. It's worth 1,000. It's worth 1,000. Huh? Check it. Google it. It's worth 1,000. Huh? But right now, today only. Today only, blue light special.
Come on.
Huh? 100. 100. Come on, right now. What do you say, man? Come on. Oh, man. I don't know. But you know us, right? We're on the street. I'll give you 50. 50? Come on, man. Come on, you're jiving me. Huh? 50? Huh? He could do that if he wanted to. Huh? And that's what God has done to all of us.
Right.
Yes. He's entrusted us with everything we have.
Yeah.
It belongs to Him. It belongs to Him. Everything we have, your jacket, your coat, your children, your car, your house, it belongs to Him. Your bank account, it belongs to Him. Your shoes, it belongs to Him. I'm sorry, they're not your shoes, they're not your socks, they're not your underwear. Belongs to Him.
Yeah.
It belongs to Him. Yeah. They belong to Him. Your hair belongs. Everything belongs to God.
Right.
Huh? And one day God's going to come back. Can I have my watch back? Thank you. Woo! I was sweating there for a little bit. One day God's going to come back and see what we did with what He entrusted with us. Everything in this earth has been given to us by God, has been entrusted to you by God. You are a steward. You are a manager of what God has given. For those few moments, He was a manager of this watch. I'm glad He gave it back and it still works. Oh, it's not moving no more. You take the battery. You, whatever is entrusted, God has called us to manage it, to take care of it. This is why, listen, husbands, that wife of yours, yeah, she's God's.
Amen, amen.
That's God's daughter.
Right.
That's God's daughter.
Amen.
You got to take care of her.
Amen. Yes.
Why? Because if that's God's daughter, that means she's the queen.
Ooh, amen.
Huh? And wife, same thing. Huh? You're like, oh yeah, get him, pastor. Huh? That's God's son. Huh? That means he's a prince. Huh? You got to treat him like the king he is with a little K. God says in Deuteronomy, remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. How do you remember the Lord your God with your wealth and with your finances? This is how you do it. You remember God by giving Him the tithe.
Amen.
You remember God by giving him your time. You remember God by giving him your talents. Because listen, it all belongs to God. You are a manager of your finances, of God's finances, of the talents that God has given you and the treasures that are in your hand. You're that manager. Everything you have belongs to God. You must remember, everything you have belongs to God. It's been entrusted to you by God. So are you taking care of everything? Have you taken care? Because it's not yours. It's not yours. It's God's. Are you taking care of what's God's? See, when you get this understanding, you'll be a little bit more careful with the things that are in your possession. Because sometimes we like to mistreat stuff. We don't clean. Come on. We don't change the oil in our car. We don't clean our car. I'm talking to myself. Amen. We don't want to clean house. Oh, shucky ducky. I'm going to step on some toes here this morning. Come on now. We don't take care of even our health. Your body belongs to God. We got to take care of it. Because it belongs to God. Secondly, look at Ecclesiastes. Chapter 5, verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. Whoever loves money never has money enough. That's heavy right there. I ain't even got to preach, man. I just read the scripture. That's right. Whoever loves money never has money enough. This is the word, right? Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. What do you think this point is right here? What do you think it is? This verse by reading. What do you think it is? What? Greed. Hit the head. Hit the nail on the head with the hammer. Greed. Greed will destroy you. Come on, girls. Come on. If you focus on making money and acquiring possessions, you will never be content. You will never be content. If you're always focusing on money and acquiring possessions, you will never feel content. And then when God wants to call you to the mission fields, or when God is calling you to come to heaven because you got a bunch of baggage and a bunch of luggage, and you're on a mission to Africa.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, where you go? What you got there, sister? A big old look. Man, you got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bags. What do you need cotton balls for? For your nails? My God. What you got here? A puzzle? What do you need puzzle for? In case you get bored? You're going to be winning a lot of souls out there, I hope. What is all this? My God. You got it here. Look, it's right here. And you want to go to Africa with on a mission trip with all this stuff? The cowboys aren't in Africa. Or you can be like Beverly. Now she's more like it.
There you go. Come on.
The rapture hits. I'm ready to go. God comes calling. Let's go. Vámonos.
Man.
See, sometimes when we get caught up in acquiring so many possessions, we're so tied down. We're so tied down in debt. We're so tied down with material things that we can't move fast enough. But when God calls Beverly to Africa, now this is just an example. This is not true. They're just my illustrated sermon here this morning. They're ready to go. Because they don't have all these possessions and things weighing them down. Listen, remember, it's okay to have things. Just don't let things have you. Because guess what? Victoria can hear the call of God and say, you know what? Put those things down. Forget it. I'm going to the UTC. I don't care if I ain't got no cotton balls. I don't care if I ain't got no puzzle. As long as I got King Jesus. I said, as long as I got King Jesus. Greed will destroy you. Thank you, Beverly. Greed will destroy you. If you focus on making money and acquiring possessions, you will never find contentment. You will never... Possessions don't make you happy, my friend. You know, you're not happy just because... Listen, I don't care how many Jordans you got, amen? They're always going to come out with a new pair of Jordans. And when they come out with that new pair of Jordans and you ain't got the money to buy it, you're going to not be happy because you ain't got the money to buy the new Jordans, but you got 50 Jordans in your closet. Possessions do not give you happiness. Greed will destroy you. Don't let greed eat you away. Third, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 through 11. A little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come on you like a bandit. And scarcity like an armed man. A little sleep. A little slumber. This is what some people that are doing right now that are not in church.
Come on, Pastor Wade. Tell the truth.
A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit. I'm not saying be a workaholic. Listen, there's a reason work is called work. See, laziness will lead to destruction.
That's true.
Calling into work all the time.
Come on.
Being late on the job all the time. Or being slothful at the job sites.
Wow, come on.
This will definitely not get you a raise or a promotion or even favor from your boss.
All right,
but it can get you stuck in a dead-end position.
Wow.
It can get you fired. Laziness. Talk about managing finances. We want to be have financial victory, but we're late. We want to be lazy. We want to call into work all the time. We want to be show up. You ain't hearing me this morning. Come on now. Gang, hear this. Come on, somebody. You're going to get a job one day. Hello, you're going to have to help pay some bills. But we can't be lazy. Look, some people get spiritually lazy and it leads to the destruction of their spiritual life. Or even their soul. They get spiritually lazy by missing prayer, missing the word, and even missing church. Listen, it takes work to come to church. It takes work to have spiritual disciplines. It takes work, my friend, because don't you think that we would all like to be doing this on a Sunday, on a rainy Sunday? Oh, come on, somebody. Some people seen the rain and they're like, oh, that's my excuse not to go to church. It was cold. It was a lot warmer under their blankie. Come on now. But then spiritual poverty strikes. And they wonder why they're going through it on Monday and Tuesday. And they can't wait till life group comes because, oh man, I'm going through. But listen, if you just would have came to church on Sunday, if you would have continued to stay faithful, come on somebody, you wouldn't be in the spiritual state that you're in, my friend. It's the same thing financially. We cannot be lazy physically and we cannot be lazy financially, my friend. Nothing comes easy, my friend. Salvation is free, but everything else has a price tag, my friend. And you're going to have to pay the price, amen. If you want to have some victory in your life over your finances, then you're going to have to roll up your sleeves and put your hands to the plow. And I'm not saying being a workaholic, because then that's the opposite side of the spectrum where you begin to work yourself to death. And you ain't got no life outside of your job.
Wow, come on.
That means you're under the authority of Pharaoh.
Wow.
Four. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 to 25. This is what it says. One gives freely. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. I'm thirsty. This water looks good. Taste. You want some? Go ahead. Drink up. You look thirsty.
I am.
One who waters will himself be watered.
Amen. Come on.
Get it, mas. No, finish what you got first. Thank you, guys. Let me give you some more.
Oh, man.
Sorry, I ain't got enough for everybody. They're the chosen ones. One who waters will himself be watered.
Amen.
Will himself be watered. Thank you, guys. Learn to be generous with your money. Learn to be generous with your money, and not just your money, but with your resources. What resources do you have? I ain't got no resources. You got a car?
Hello.
When's the last time you filled that car up with souls
to
bring people to church?
Amen.
Or is it just you by yourself in that minivan when there's seven other seats? Some people, you know, they don't think about others. They just think about themselves. This is why I'm just going to give me a Mini Coupe. If you got a Mini Coupe, no offense. Huh? No offense. Learn to be generous with your money and your resources. See, the things you see the things that you seek to hold on to will become idols to you.
Oh, come on, that's right, man.
When you try to hold on to things, you try to hold on to things, it becomes an idol. Sometimes we try to hold on to, this is why so many people, Christians that don't give, they're holding on to their finances. And it's those very Christians that they begin to idolize money. This is why those are the ones that begin to take on all this overtime, and then they start to miss prayer. They start to miss devotion. They start to miss church. Because they're trying to hold on to something. A relationship, a materialistic thing. They're trying to hold on to it. And it eventually becomes an idol. See, as you pour yourself out, God will fill you up. I've been pouring myself out for almost 19 years. 19 years I've been pouring myself out in ministry, in counseling, in preaching and teaching and loving, pouring myself out. You know why I haven't experienced burnout? Because he constantly fills me up.
Amen. Amen.
That's why I don't get burned out. That's why I don't get bored. I don't get bored of this. I don't get bored. And sometimes when I do feel like it's getting stale, God just fills me back up. He just fills my cup up with His Spirit. He just fills my cup up with His Word. He fills my cup up with the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. As you pour yourself out, God will fill you up. 5. Proverbs 25, 28. Look at this one. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. What point is this? Budgeting.
Yeah.
Budgeting.
Yeah.
Let me say it again. Budgeting. Budget. Budget your money. And your time for that matter. Budget your money and your time.
Right.
You know the only thing you can't get back is time. Time. That's something that you can never get back. We need to learn to budget our money and time. But if we are not disciplined, we'll say, I don't need no budget.
I don't need no budget.
I don't need no schedule. See, budgeting takes self-control. It takes self-control. But yet it can give you freedom over your finances. If you learn to budget, I don't care how much you make. I don't care if you just make $7 an hour. If you learn to have a good budget, man, that budget will free you financially. You can begin to spend money with confidence. With confidence. Yeah, with confidence. Huh? It's almost like many people are reluctant buyers. You know why? Because they don't have no confidence. Huh? You think that, you know, Jerry Jones walks into the car dealership and just like thinks like, oh man, should I buy it? Should I not buy it? No, he walks in and just picks. I'll take that one. Confidence. He might be materialistic, but he has confidence. Why? Because he knows he has it in the budget.
Right.
Huh? But a lot of times where people, they're like, oh, I don't know if I should buy this dress. Oh, I don't know if I should buy this. I don't know if I should buy that. Listen, you would know if you budget it.
Yeah, that's good.
Huh? Budgeting. You can spend money with confidence that you are not robbing other areas. You're not robbing Peter to pay Paul. Why? Because you have money set aside for these things as well. Because you had a budget with savings. You had a budget for your utilities. You had a budget for your rent. And first of all was the tithe. Because your priorities are intact. So first is the tithe. And then comes the rent. Then comes the car note. Then comes the water. Then comes the electricity. And if you ain't got enough for a cheeseburger, then you're eating beans and rice in Jesus Christ. But you got to budget. It takes self-control to operate. I know that this is like, Pastor, why'd you got to talk about this? Huh? Listen, I ain't telling you, you know, because I want you to experience victory in your finances. I want you to be blessed. Because listen, when the people of Victory Irish Grand Prairie can experience this victory, oh my God, watch out, devil. Watch out, world. Here we come, Asia. Here we come, Africa. Here we come, Amsterdam. Here we come, Germany. Here we come, Panama. Here we come to preach Jesus. Here we come to save the world through Jesus Christ. Why? Because God has given us victory in our finances, and we're free. We're free to serve Jesus and take the world for God's honor and God's glory. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. What does this mean? What is this point? Spend less than what you make. Spend less with what you make. Spend less with what you make. The problem is we blow it all. And then we want to borrow money for gas. That's my next point. I'm going to get there. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Be content with what you have. Spend less than what you make. Listen, it's no challenge to spend more money than you make. The challenge is to spend significantly less than you make. So you can save for unexpected emergencies and be generous to others. That's the challenge. The challenge is to save. It's to put it aside and not touch. You got to leave yourself some margin. There's a fine line between living within your means and living beyond your means. Stay away from that line by living below your means. Seven, Psalms 37, verse 21. I hope you're writing these points down. The wicked borrows. Listen to this. Psalms 37, verse 21. The wicked borrows but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives freely. Proverbs 27, verse 7. The rich rules over the poor. And the borrower is the slave of the lender. Romans 3:8. Owe no one anything except to love each other. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Check this one. Proverbs 22, verse 26 through 27. Be not one of those who give pledges. That doesn't mean the pledge that we took up. Some of you, see, Pastor, that's why I didn't do it. No, read the rest of the verse. Look. Who put up security for debts. It's talking about when you go and you finance stuff. If you have nothing with which to pay, check this out. Why should your bed be taken from under you? You know Rent-A-Center don't play. They pull up. Oh, come on now. Oh, that bed. We came for your bed. Our bed, I mean. Huh? Who can guess what this one is? Okay. Do not borrow. Do not borrow money for depreciating items. Credit is a subtle trap. Learn to be patient rather than falling into the mindset of enjoy now, pay later. I've always told you, pay now. That's right. Play later.
Right.
Pay now, play later. But we have the mentality, Americans, enjoy now, pay later.
Wow.
Do not borrow money for depreciating items. An example is a new car. If you can pay cash for something that will get the job done and get you where you need to be, then do so. Wow. Let me tell you something. I'm not saying don't go get a new car, you know. But there's a difference between a $40,000-$50,000 BMW, huh, and a $12,000 Kia. Are you hearing me? Huh? So what happens sometimes is that we want to keep up with the Joneses. We buy things that we don't need to impress people we don't like. Let me say that to this side. We buy things we don't need to impress people we don't like. Did y'all get that? We buy things we don't need to impress people.
Oh my
goodness. You ain't hearing me this morning. Huh? Listen, almost everything loses its value almost as soon as you buy that new car, as soon as you drive off the lot, it loses its value.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow. But listen, I know we need cars. I understand. You need to get to work. I'm cool. Okay. Cool. And listen, I'm just giving you some advice. Amen. From the scriptures. From the word. Isn't it the word?
Yes.
Huh? Don't be like this little guy right here. Pobrecito. But in reality, that's some of you right now. Huh? Almost everything loses its value. Almost everything loses its value. But this is why, listen, if you're gonna finance stuff, use wisdom.
Yes.
Use wisdom and a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot of prayer.
Yeah.
A lot of prayer. Huh? I'm not saying you can't get something from cons or whatever, in a center, but use a lot of wisdom.
Yeah, right.
If you don't need it, come on, somebody. And if you can find a couch cheaper, come on now. Huh? There you go. Offer up. Amen. Just don't go by yourself, because you might get jacked up. Come on now. Gotta use wisdom.
Yeah.
Huh? Gotta use wisdom. The last thing. 1 Timothy 6:8. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. The more things you accumulate, the more time you will have to spend taking care of those things. Seek to live more simply. Listen. Don't try to accumulate all these things. Be content with what you have in your belly and what you got on your back. This is why sometimes things happen, fires happen, you know. But people, you always see them interviewing, they say, and what do they say? Man, my house burned down, but I'm glad I'm alive. I'm blessed to be alive today. I'm blessed me and my family are alive. You know what they're saying? I'm good with the clothes on my back. Huh? That can be replaced. That can be replaced. Be content with what you have. You know what I've never seen? I've never seen this. Okay. I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul.
Wow.
Have you?
Wow. No.
You probably have, man. Ghetto, man. You see some ghetto. You see some stuff in the ghetto. But I've never seen it. You know why? Because naked you came into this world, and naked you shall leave. This is why the Bible says, if a man needs a coat and you got a coat, give him your coat. You ain't gonna be able to take it to heaven. From dirt you came, to dirt you shall return. The three most common mistakes people make regarding their money. One, living a consumptive lifestyle. They just spend. Secondly, not budgeting their money. Budgeting your money means making a conscious decision what to do with the money before you spend it. It's like, don't wait till you get your tax return and think about what you're going to... Oh, and then you got it. Okay, now let's go spend it on Trader's Village.
Oh.
The mall.
Oh, man.
The bazaar.
Oh.
Think about budgeting. Is there some bills that need to be paid?
That's right.
Did you take up a pledge?
Amen.
Huh? What do you need to do? Budget it. Sometimes when we don't budget, that's why it's like, we have it one day, and the next day it's gone. One day it's here, the next day it's gone. Because there's no budget. The last thing, the three most common mistakes, is spending too much money on cars. Too much money on vehicles. Listen, as Christians and as a church, our goal is not to be caught up in materialistic things and riches and fame, or even power and pride. But to win the loss for Christ, that's our goal.
Amen.
So let's face it, if we're going to win the loss, not just in our city, but in our world, we need to be financially healthy so we can expand this vision to the many hurting people in the world.
Yes.
And as you are blessed, you are more able to be set up to be a blessing. Listen, I'm not a professional in finances. I don't claim to have it all together financially. But God has brought me a long way. From being a thief on the streets of Dallas to being a giver and in a position to be a blessing. To be able to do what we're doing today, me and my wife, God has taught us a thing or two about money and things. But the first thing I need to learn is to trust Him with my heart. Then I got to trust Him with my life. Then ultimately, I got to trust Him with my money. And I've done this. I have done this. And God has blessed us. And He's raised us up. He'll do the same for you. But you got to trust Him. Even the dollar bill says, in God we trust. In God we trust. But you first got to trust Him with your heart. You're never going to trust Him with your money or your life until you first trust Him with your heart. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. And I want to pray for those, first of all, that need to trust God with their hearts. There's some of you that you haven't trusted God with your heart, with your life. And I know, you know, we talked about finances, but I didn't talk about necessarily just giving. I talked about, I'm trying to help you to be blessed. Amen. To teach you to budget and to teach you not to let greed come into your heart, not to be materialistic. But first things first is you got to learn to trust God with your heart. Yes. With your life. Listen, I've been trusting God with my heart, my life for 19 years now. He hasn't let me down. Amen. He hasn't let me down. And He's blessed me to be in a position to be a blessing. To be a blessing.
That's right.
We have a men's home.
That's right.
Where men come in free of charge.
Amen.
To get help getting off of drugs and alcohol. Proud of our home. We've got a pretty full home.
Amen.
We've got room for more. And those men are learning to be men of God, right?
Yes.
Learn how to pray, man. They're getting up and praying in the morning. They're being discipled. They're being poured into. They're learning the Word of God. I went through the home. I'm homegrown. I'm a product of the home. It works. I'm a product of Victory Outreach. Yes, of God. Huh? Yes, God saved me, but VO raised me.
Amen.
My pastor taught me. My leaders taught me. And you know, God has changed my life because I had to trust God with my life. And that's the first thing. You got to learn to trust God with your heart and your life first. Until you do that, you're going to struggle trusting God financially. Some people even give it backwards. They start to trust God financially, but then they struggle and trusting God with their life. Mm. You got to trust God fully. Because it's in God we trust. As every head is bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't trusted God with your heart. You haven't been trusting God with your heart or with your life. But today you want that to change. You want to begin to trust God. You've been trusting in yourself. But it's been getting you into a lot of trouble and a lot of mess and a lot of drama lately. Today's your day to trust Jesus. If that's you here this morning, I want to pray for you. I want to say a prayer for you. And I want to lead you in a prayer to trust God. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody here? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. If you raise your hand, I want you to come to the altar. Come up to the altar. I want to pray for you. If you raise your hand, you come. Come to the altar. Trusting God is the best decision you will ever make. It's the best decision I ever made. To trust God. Trust God. He loves you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants the best for you. I know it's hard to trust. Because many of us, we have trust issues. Because when we trusted people in the past, they hurt us. They backstabbed us. They left us hanging. But God's not like that. God's not like that. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. The next altar call I want to make are for those that you need to trust God more financially. You need to trust God more in your finances. And not that doesn't mean just in giving your tithes and giving your offering. No. That means doing that, but also saying, you know what, I'm gonna get it together in this area. I'm gonna start to budget. I'm gonna start to save. That's you. The altar calls for you. I want you to come. But you need to trust God more financially. You can say, you know what, I could be honest, man. I struggle financially. I don't budget. And then when I do budget, I don't stick to the budget. Come on, somebody. There's some that are good. There's some that are good. And if you're good in this area, then, man, you should come lay hands on these people. It's okay. We're not prideful, man. We receive. That came to trust God with your heart and your life. Say this prayer with me. Repeat these words. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I trust you with my heart. That means with my life. To you. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of being defeated. I surrender all to you in the name of Jesus. Come into my heart. I believe you're the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins. You resurrected on the third day. Resurrect me. Thank you for dying for me. That's it, you're saved. That's it, you're saved. You're saved. Stay in his presence. For the rest of us, say this prayer with me. If you came to experience financial victory, say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm not great with finances, but I know you are. You're the great manager, because the earth is yours and everything in it. Heaven is yours and everything in it. I am yours. And God, today I make a commitment to follow you in my finances. I make a commitment to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when it tells me no, not to spend. When the Holy Spirit tells me to save, I make a commitment in my finances to trust you. My financial obligations, not just to you and to the church, but to my bills, to all the things that I owe, I will pay. It may take me some time, but I will pay. Lord, give me the strength, give me the discipline to do so. Father, as I do, and as I tithe, open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out your blessing so that I may execute and carry out everything you've given me. Because I know you want to bless me. I know you want to open up the floodgates of heaven upon my life. I know you want the best for my life. And so I surrender my finances to you.
Thank you.
year of victory. Your year of victory. Financially. Spiritually. In your relationships. In your marriage. With your children. Your victory. Yeah.
How many had a great time here this morning? You got the victory? Because we got the victory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, tonight we have gang service. Amen. All the life group leaders and the senior volunteer team and the hosts for the life groups, we have a meeting. And the kids ministry, amen. See us there. Amen. Praise the Lord. But right now we're going to close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We give you all the praise and the glory. We dismiss from this place, but never from your presence. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. If it's your first time here, see us in the guest room. We have a guest room. If you see a guest here for the first time, take them to the guest room. Amen. We want to just get to know you. All the life group leaders, all the senior volunteer team, the host of the life groups, we'll meet with you in the green room, in the children's ministry in a while. Amen. God bless you. You're our dismissed. Sign up for the Valentine's party Wednesday at Alley Cats. There's your stations outside. God bless you.
quem quiser go outside. Oh.